The title of my message this morning is a very simple one, and it's called Spiritual Distance. We just went through a lot of nonsense the last few years about social distancing, and they made up this measurement of 2 meters or 6 feet or whatever to keep people away from each other because they didn't want to get anywhere close in case you caught something from somebody. And I well remember at the beginning of the nonsense walking my dog in the streets of Blantyre and walking along the streets, and people would literally jump out the way because they were so afraid of the air I was breathing. And it was insane. And it turned out afterwards it was just made up.
Amen.
What a surprise. And I was watching a video just the other day from a doctor in America who used to be a doctor here, and they were trying to recommend that doctors should mask forever. Forever and ever, they should always mask. And another thing that's complete nonsense and doesn't work. But you know, this morning I want to look at spiritual distancing. Spiritual distancing. And you know, you and I as believers are to keep our distance from some things. But I'd like to start this morning by pointing out there is no distance between the believer and his relationship, his position with the Savior.
Amen.
There's nothing between, as that old song says, nothing between, nothing between. And you know, sometimes you look at things, and you've seen it and I've seen it, where they have these pyramids when they join them together and the seams are so perfect. And they say it must be some ancient technology that made this. And amazing that people were smarter in the past than they are now. Go figure. But you know, there's nothing between us positionally in Christ that the devil, the flesh, or the world can make for us. Just on the other day on Wednesday there, we looked at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 about all things work together for good. And if you went on in that passage as we read those scriptures, you'll find that what can separate us from the love of Christ? Death, angels, tribulation, suffering. And Paul Endy says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you can look at that separation as nothing can separate us from eventually being in heaven. We'll eventually be with the Lord. But that's also true positionally right now. There is no separation positionally between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're saved forever. And
Amen.
Nothing can change that. But in our relationship with the Lord, just like with our relationship with family, sometimes the things we do causes distance because of the sins and the stupidity that we accomplish in our lives. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at spiritual distancing, why you should keep our distance from the flesh, from the world, from Satan, and from his systems. So we start out in verse number 14 of chapter 6, very clearly, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So that means that we're to be careful in our relationships so that we don't end up unyoked or yoked up, unequally yoked, with someone who's an unbeliever that can cause us harm. Now, there are different ways to look at being unyoked or yoked together. You can have two animals that are the same, and that's a good yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And there's nothing wrong with, again, some of you have never maybe seen this, but you know, getting animals and you know, getting them together and putting them in the straps and everything, and they're plowing the fields with a horse or even with a cow or something, or even a donkey, that's fine. But if you get a cow and a sheep together and expect them to be able to equally pull together, you're going to have a mess. Now, obviously, we apply this to believers and unbelievers in the relationship of marriage, of relationships that hopefully lead to marriage and things like that. And obviously we ought not to be involved in that kind of manner with unbelievers because sometimes our heart can lead us down a path that is a bad path. And I have known many, many, many believers who found someone that they fell in love with. Oh, they're so wonderful. First question I ask is, are they a believer?
Amen.
Well, they're willing to come to church with me. They're willing to consider the things of God. And I tell them, run. Amen.
Amen.
Because you don't know what your mind and your heart will get you involved in. And the best thing to do for you is to leave while your mind and your heart is not involved. It's for your own benefit. Amen.
Yep.
I don't say that because I want to be mean. I don't say that because I don't want you to be happy. I'm saying that for your own well-being, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. Even Solomon had that problem. He said it's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with a rebellious and loud woman.
Amen.
He said it's better to have a dinner of herbs than to dwell in a house with plenty. And for you to get to that position, the best thing for you to do is to avoid that situation in the first place.
Amen.
You've thought about Solomon, how stupid he was. Now, he was the wisest man spiritually, I'm not, you know, in earthly as far as the world was concerned. He was extremely wise. But you know what his problem was? Too many women.
Amen.
I could preach a message right there. Too many women.
Right.
He had, I think it was 700 wives and 300 concubines for over 1,000 women in his life. One is more than enough. More than enough. But can you just imagine how that worked? There's only 365 days a year. So even if you spent one night with one woman, it would take 3 years. Well, the older you get, the more tired you get. But, you know, if you spend that amount of time just with one woman, and then the mother-in-laws and the relatives, it would have been wiser for Solomon to just have one wife.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, we find that many of God's people had more than one wives. More than one wife.
Yeah.
And yet you look at every one of them and everyone got in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. God made them male and female. And the Bible says that you're supposed to be till death do us part. Amen.
Amen.
That's why it's important not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Yeah.
Because you will get yourself in such a mess that your life may be ruined till the rapture and the Lord comes back. I have known believers that have gotten involved in relationships, getting girls pregnant and marrying them, and then they were never in church, never read their Bibles ever again. Don't you think the devil, the snake that he has a plan for you to mess up and get yourself in trouble? Don't you think the devil's got a nice wee plan that he'd like to use on you?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
That's why the Bible clearly says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Amen.
Oh, but you don't know them like I do.
No.
I know he's a wicked, horrible person, but he's nice to me. Or she's lovely and she's so kind and she writes poetry and she says, does her hair comb? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means the ugly ones and the pretty ones. It means any of them.
Amen.
Oh, but no buts.
Amen.
Be ye not. Simple as that. We are supposed to be different. And in order to be different, sometimes you have to be distant. Amen? I know that, you know, my experience of dating is long, long time ago. But I saw this thing just briefly, and apparently it was this dating thing. And part of this dating thing is you had a man and a woman on both sides of the table, and they had a bell in the middle. And if they didn't like you, hit the bell. And this one guy sat down and he went, And then another guy came in and he went, saw her and went, But maybe as believers, when someone who's an unbeliever comes along and shows you any kind of interest, you ought to go,
Amen. Yes.
Why? Because there's to be a contrast between us and the world.
Amen.
Look at verse 14. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Fellowship means people getting together, getting on, talking. What reason, apart from witnessing and telling someone the gospel and telling them about Jesus and what God has done in your life, what other reason do you have to talk to someone who's unsaved?
That's right. Preacher.
What fellowship?
That's right.
Now, I understand that, you know, you meet people, you have friends, you talk to them. I'm talking about when you're trying to enter into a relationship that leads to marriage. The first question you should ask is, are you saved? Are you born again?
Amen.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if they say, well, you know, simple. Why? Because there's to be a contrast between us and the world. We are light, they are darkness. Look at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Concord means communion. It means agreement. It means they have something. You know, people today are looking for, what do you have in common? Well, if you don't have Jesus in common, you have nothing in common.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What concord? What agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I've used this sermon, or not this illustration, many, many times. In the Civil War in America back many, many years ago, there was a guy who couldn't make up his mind what side he was on. So what he did is, and of course, you know, they had the Union Army wore blue, the Confederate Army wore gray. So he decided, what I'll do is I'll wear gray trousers and a blue tunic so that, you know, I'll either one that I come in contact with, I can be with them. So he ended up getting shot twice. He was shot by the Confederate Army in the blue part of his uniform, and he was shot by the Union Army in the gray part of his uniform. You see, it's better to make yourself distinct and distant.
Amen.
Than get yourself in a lot of trouble. Amen. Yeah. There's to be a contrast in the way we walk. There's to be a contrast in our wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's easy in this world to look at people superficially and say, wow, there's a beautiful person. They look... I was in the gym the other day, and you know how it is in the gym. You're walking. I used to go in a place where there's nobody. And, you know, I walk on my treadmill, and I do my stuff, and that's me. I just like to do that. And these two girls came along, and they were very scantily clothed, you know, and it was like, oh, okay, right. So I stopped my treadmill, went to the other side of the gym, and started on the treadmill over there. And the look of disgust on their face. How dare you? Can't you see how beautiful I am? Aren't you attracted by my lack of clothing? That I'll never have a sweat in my life? No, I'm going to be wise about this. And listen to this. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I can be tempted. I'd rather move.
Amen.
And get out the way.
What's up?
So I can walk right with the Lord.
Amen.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still while we trust and obey.
Amen.
Don't you think the devil has a place that he wants to put you in where you will be tempted? You've got to have wisdom. You've got to be wise to the serpent who wants to trip you up by bringing somebody or somebody or something in your life that will lead you from the light into the dark.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to have a contrast in your walk. You've got to have a contrast in your wisdom. You've got to be able to say, Lord, I'm getting myself out of this.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, there was a guy that I knew, And he was an old man at the time, and he had fought in the First World War. That's how old he was. This was back in the 80s. And he used to tell him, this guy was probably at that time well into his 70s. I mean, he was an old man. And he used to tell me that before he became a Christian, he used to drink. And he's quite active, even at that age. He said, even now, when I walk past a pub, I have to walk quickly. Because once I start to smell that smell, it starts to tempt me. And he was wise, even at that age, to quickly remove himself from that situation. Amen.
Yeah.
There's got to be a contrast.
Amen.
Between the righteous and the unrighteous. Between Christ and Belial. A contrast between he that believeth and an infidel.
Amen.
There's no common ground between the devil and Jesus. They are enemies. They're not friends. There's never going to be a peace treaty between the Lord Jesus Christ and the devil.
Right.
Never.
No.
The only thing that's going to happen, the Lord's going to come back and he is going to rule and reign. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
In verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are, I want you to notice this, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is why, it would be lovely, and if the Lord blesses us, to have our own church building one day. That would be wonderful.
Amen.
But we are the temple of God.
Amen.
The church is not a building.
Amen.
The church is the people who have the indwelling Holy Spirit within them. That is the body of the Lord. So if we are the temple of God, what business do we have taking the temple of God to places where the temple of God ought not to be? What is the result to that? Not only a contrast in our walk, in our wisdom, but also a contrast in our ways. Look at verse number 17. Wherefore? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God's call to the believer, come out. Come out of the world. Come out of the system. Don't get involved. Don't even touch it. I was baking this morning, and I baked some nice cookies that hopefully some are left in there. But it doesn't matter because I have another dozen at home. Who are cooling as I speak. And I'm tempted when they come out of the oven to get one right then and there. But I can't touch it because it's too hot.
That's good.
Maybe that relationship, individual in your life, is too hot for you.
Yeah, it's good.
You ought not to touch it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and I'm just going to preach the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said it's good not for a man to touch a woman.
That's right.
Amen. That's it. And that's true.
Amen.
Now, I know around here we like to shake hands and hug and all the rest of it. But you better be very careful about how you shake hands and hug.
Yes.
That it's no more than just the right kind, not a sensual kind. You ever met someone like that? Sleaze bag. It's like, get away from me. And I've even known women who said, this individual in church, they hug me in the wrong way. Amen. Paul says, just don't touch a woman if that's your intention. Amen. And so we're to be careful about the things we touch because they're too hot for us to handle. Those cookies look good when they come out of the oven. But I've learned, let them cool. And sometimes in our relationships with the world and with individuals in the world, maybe you just need to let it cool. Play the long game. We're to be a contrast. Not only that, it's a bit of contrast by how we will do what God wants. Look at verse number 18. If we come out and if we don't touch and if we get away from the unclean thing, God says, I will be a father unto you and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My dad wasn't much of a dad. Some people have good dads. I'm happy for you. But mine wasn't. And I remember growing up as a young Christian, I didn't have a male influence in my life that was positive. But I thank the Lord was my father.
Amen.
I thank you. I thank the Lord that he took care of me and led me. Amen.
Amen.
And the great relationship we have with the Lord, as I said before, there's no distance between that. It's better to have, and listen to this very carefully, it's better to have someone who will be there for the long run than someone who's there who's just about ready to run on you. There's an old saying, and it's a very true saying. It's better to have the right one than the one that's right now. Let me say that again. It's better to have the right one. I'll rephrase that. It's better to wait for the right one than the one that is right now. They're there for a day and gone. And then you have so much pain and suffering. And then you, well, what did I do wrong? I mean, why did this happen? Maybe that's never happened to you. But sometimes you better just get your relationship right with the Lord. Paul reminds us that we are God's possession. God has a right to expect us to be clean, to be different, to have a clean spiritual life. We're commanded to be something special for the Lord. Sacred. Amen. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There are certain people who say that, and this is to me is crazy, there are certain people who say that everybody in heaven, both who are male and female now, when they get to heaven, they'll all be men. That verse disproves that.
Amen.
For ye are my sons and daughters,
Amen.
Saith the Lord Almighty.
Yes.
Some people say, well, everybody who's, even the women today, they'll be men in heaven. No. God made you what he wanted to make you, and you will still continue to be a man or a woman, regardless of what this world says. You will still be a man or a woman, even in heaven. Thank the Lord. Now, how are we to manage God's commands in our life? Well, we find this in verse number 7, chapter 7, verse 1. Having these promises, and these are promises. You might think, or the devil might say to you, well, you see, if you followed the Lord, you'd be all by yourself. You'd be lonely. You wouldn't have fun. But the reality is that the people who are giving themselves over to sin and sickness in the world, they are alone. They're alone. But a relationship with Christ is permanent.
Yes.
And having these promises in verse number 1 says, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How do we answer the world? How do we keep distance from the world? Clean up. As I said on Wednesday night, and I would encourage you to come out Wednesday night. A lot of good teaching Wednesday night, amen. Washing up. Going to worship service. Not the worship service, the worship service. Getting washed up. Cleaning up. Sometimes it's good to clean that which is filthy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
We had our, or we're getting, or in the process of having our bath done by our housing association. And it's a work in progress. But they took the shower off the wall. And they broke it. But as they opened up, you saw all this mold and blackness. And I'm like, well, I need a new shower. I don't want to live with that kind of filth.
Yeah, it's good.
And yet there are so many people who live with filth in their life that they're ignoring. Sometimes you just got to clean up. Now, there are two ways to clean up filth. First of all, you can hire someone else to do it. If you wish. There are services that will do that for you. Or you can get some old elbow grease and a good scour and some bleach or cleaner and get in there yourself. For the Christian, the best way to clean up your life, Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let me say that again. Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you.
Amen.
We're to manage God's command to be sacred by getting out of the way. We are to manage it by just believing and doing what God says. We're to manage it by perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, holiness is an old-fashioned word that people run away from today. There's a lot of words like that, I find. Repentance.
Amen.
Repentance is a good Bible word.
Amen.
If you understand it, what the Bible says.
Right.
Even God repented.
Amen.
So it's not talking about changing your life and get rid of all your sins. It's about changing your mind.
Amen.
Amen. Holiness is a good one.
Yeah.
The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
What does holiness mean to you? Holiness means clean, separate, and sacred for the Lord. It means that you are following God's will for your life, not doing your own thing. It says we're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's another thing people misunderstood, the fear of God.
Amen.
I believe Christians should have a fear of God, meaning reverence. You know why, as a kid, I had to be careful about taking cookies from the cookie jar? I had to make sure I didn't get caught. And for the believer, God will always catch you.
Amen.
Because he sees everything. God never sleeps. God never slumbers.
Amen.
He's always there. You cannot do something that God is not aware of. So we ought to have reverence and respect. Those are good words. Reverence and respect about fearfully walking with the Lord. Now, I'll close with this thought. How should we walk? The Bible talks about walking circumspectly. And the best way I can think about it like is this. Where I live, I take the dog out for a walk many times, and there are cats. And when the dogs see the cats, they get very excited. But the cats have learned that they walk along the fence very carefully. And I've seen where there'll be dogs on either side of the fence going ballistic, rah, 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 jumping up, trying to bite. And those cats, very careful about how they walk. That's a good illustration for the believer. You see, you're not just to walk without thought. You're to walk circumspectly.
Amen.
Because we're different.
Mm-hmm.
There's a contrast between us and the world.
Amen.
And God expects us to walk circumspectly in the fear and the holiness of God. Now that's a challenge, amen. That's a good challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. Amen. We ought to be different because God has made us different. Thank God for that. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, it can help us. It can edify us. It can show us the right way. And Lord, we pray you'd apply this word to our hearts. Help us to walk circumspectly in this dark, evil world so that there might be a contrast between us and the world, and you might be glorified in what you're doing in our lives. Bless our time and invitation. Speak to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.